So today, our sermon is based on a reading from John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, Lord God, we give you thanks for our Savior who loves us and gave himself for us. We spent the past 3 weeks thinking about and looking at the various mottos and mission statements our church has adopted over the years. We're working on a consensus about what holds us together and what we believe we are called to do. Annie pointed out to me the mission and purpose statements in our church's constitution. The mission of the Rio do Sul First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, is to build the kingdom of God through ministry in the spirit and example of Jesus Christ for service to God and humanity. Our purpose is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithful response to God's will and purpose as revealed through Jesus Christ, to see in all persons a faithful response and commitment to Jesus Christ, to bring the gospel message to bear upon society, to sustain and be sustained by the general and regional manifestations of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, to work cooperatively with Christians in other communions, to see the oneness of the body of Christ, and in all ways to seek to make known the love of God. I believe one of our affirmations embodies all those ideals and all that we are and all that we wish to do in God's name for God's glory. Being, seeking, and making disciples, to which we added the disclaimer of Christ. This is what we want to do as First Christian Church Rio do Sul. We want to be disciples of Christ, to study God's words, to do the things God has tasked us to do, to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ, who healed and helped and fed and led and blessed and bled. We want to seek other people with the aim of teaching them by word and in deed what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And then we want to make them disciples of Christ, to make them part of this movement for wholeness in a fragmented world, which is the vision statement of our denomination, the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. And in today's scripture, we heard just how Jesus expects us to do all that. We usually hear these verses during Holy Week, when we remember the Last Supper, because that is when Jesus gave this new mandate to his disciples then and made it a lasting legacy for us, his disciples today. We get the word mandi from mandatum, which means commandment. So what Jesus told his disciples then and still tells us disciples now is that whatever we do, whatever we claim is our particular mission and our particular purpose, it has to be done with love. The disciples at the Last Supper might have been thinking, what's Jesus talking about, love? We know he loves us. But they didn't know at the time just how far Jesus would take his love for them. They didn't know what he was about to do because he loved them and us. He had told them several times he was going away, but that only confused them. Where was he going? And why couldn't they go with him? They'd always gone with him wherever he went. Why couldn't they go this time? Because it was not time for them to go with him, not yet. Jesus was leaving them to go to the cross and die for their sakes, our sakes, but that was not where the story would end, thanks be to God. After his death, Jesus was resurrected, never to die again, and that gives us hope. That redeeming love set the standard for us. When Jesus said, no one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends, he wasn't actually expecting them to go out and die for one another. He himself was going to make that ultimate sacrifice, and no one could ever replicate or top it. He was telling us to love one another fiercely, freely, loyally, lastingly, just as he loved us. But we can never love exactly like Jesus loved because we don't know what Jesus knows. He knows us inside out. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. He knows our secret dreams and dreads, our fears and faults, things we are not always privy to in each other. So if Jesus can love us so deeply and dearly, knowing all about us, How can we not follow this command to love one another as I have loved you? He even loved Judas, the one who betrayed him. He didn't say, love one another as I have loved you, except for that jerk Judas. I'm not about to love him. He even loved Peter, the one he knew would deny knowing him three times that very same night. In his love, Jesus encompassed even the one who sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. He encompassed in his love one whom he knew was going to deny him. How awesome is that? How intimidating is that? If Jesus could love even Judas, how could we not love one another? This is the new commandment for us. It's built on the commandment found in Leviticus 19:18, which says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Christ showed us a totally different way of loving one's neighbor, loving them not just in word, but in deed. This new commandment expands on that former one, refreshing and refocusing it, enlarging and enhancing it. What it boils down to is this: love yourself, and then you can love others. You can love yourself because Jesus loves you. You can forgive each other, even when it's hard, because Jesus has forgiven you. The command now is to love in the spirit of Jesus Christ. This is how people will know we are disciples, by our love, by our love. That's what makes us disciples of Christ, not creeds or slogans, however catchy they may be. All our mottos and mission statements and purpose proposals boil down to the one most important thing of all, love. If we do what we do begrudgingly, if we do what we do thoroughly but with murmuring, complaints and acidic asides, if we do what we do just to get it over and done with, that's not going to be helpful or loving at all. And it certainly won't make many disciples of or for Christ. Even the hard things have to be done with love, or else, as 1 Corinthians tells us and as William Shakespeare emphasizes, we're just full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. So perhaps as we added of Christ to the main model, perhaps we need to add to it with love, being, seeking, and making disciples of Christ with love and with welcome. The purpose statement that keeps coming back to me says, in the spirit of Jesus, we are here as FCC Ruidoso to nourish one another as Christ's disciples, spiritually, physically, and mentally with love. Jesus was sent to heal all our hurts, the spiritual ones, the physical ones, the mental ones. Not many churches stress mental health, but it is an important core of our being. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Jesus exorcised demons. Jesus touched people who so longed for a human touch to make them feel they belonged and were accepted and welcomed by somebody. Jesus listened to and empathized with others so that their thoughts could become clear and they could walk in newness of life with him. So whatever we do, whatever motto or mission statement we adopt, let it all come down to love. Our love for Christ widens our heart to include love for ourselves and then love for others. We don't know what things other people are going through. Sometimes we don't even understand what we're going through. That means we need to be gentle with each other and with ourselves. We continually remind ourselves and each other that Jesus loves us, faults and foibles and all. And the best way to demonstrate our devotion to him is to love others. This is a new commandment because in the light of Christ's sacrifice, we understand it better. We are in awe that someone loved us so much that he gave his life for us. We are reminded of Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, which says, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Doesn't that make you stop in your tracks and grab your heart and think, wow, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul. Doesn't that make you want to throw out your arms and embrace the world and say, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves us all. So may we love one another as Christ has loved us, truly, deeply, everlastingly. May we go forth refreshed and renewed and challenged to bring the darkness in the world into the light of Christ. Let us pray. God, thank you for sending Jesus to us to teach us how to love one another. We can't know everything about everyone else, but we can know and we can let them know that Jesus Christ has come to redeem, reform, and refresh them, just as he has redeemed, reformed, and refreshed us. Here is the best way to remember Jesus, by giving thanks for the love he has for us all, and by following his commandment to love one another, even as he has loved us. In his power we go forth, and in his name we pray. Amen.
Beside us to God.